Hey there, this is Tolly Wilgus with Paradise Church. We're so glad you're checking us out. This is one great way for us to share with you all that God is doing here in Baltimore and around the world. We hope that you're encouraged, equipped, and inspired to be the man or woman that God designed you to be. Welcome to Paradise.
So we've been in this series for the last couple of weeks called Pass the Salt. Can you say pass the salt? Pass the salt. So a lot of times in every single home in the country you walk in, this is one thing that's ubiquitous. It'll probably be in their home. There'll be a salt shaker. And we talked early on about the benefits of salt and what salt does. It's a preservative, of course, and it allows you to preserve meats and fish and things like that. But also, it pulls out taste and flavor. And we talked about how what God created good. And in the human and mankind's case, very good. But the world gets tarnished by sin. And as a result, the salt of the earth, you and I, one of the things that we can do is bring out the good things, bring out the God things. And so as we live our lives, not only are we preserving the gospel here on earth, but also we're pulling out flavor. We're saying, you know what? That's a good thing. Let's celebrate that. That's a beautiful thing. And so what we do is we looked at the Beatitudes at the very beginning of Matthew 5 there. And Jesus had said, you are the salt of the earth in verse 13. And he challenges us not to lose that saltiness. And you say, well, how in the world can I be salty? How in the world can I help affect change in the world? And in week one, we talked about there's people try to make change in lots of ways, but they aren't through the Beatitudes. They're not through Jesus. And that's actually what he told us to do. He didn't tell us to take over a government. He didn't tell us to have our favorite candidate. He didn't tell us to win a particular game. What he called us to do is to live out these Beatitudes, that be the salt of the earth in this way. You'll affect change if you live this way. But obviously, these ways of living sometimes don't feel that sexy. And so as a result, we try to run to some other things that might draw our attention more. But God calls us to these Beatitudes. And so there's the list there, and you have them on your magnet. And if you're watching from home, you can email us and reach out, and we'll be glad to send you one. But on the magnet there, it reminds us to be humble, to be comforted in the spirit, to be restrained, to be thirsty for Jesus, to be merciful, to be pure in our hearts and our thoughts, to be peaceful with others as far as it depends on us, and be found faithful. At the end of the day, be faithful, be consistent in our living. But today I want to ask the question that every two-year-old in the world asks. But why? Turn to your neighbor and say, why? Why? That's what a little kid, if you have toddlers in your life, you hear this a million times, right? But why? Because I said so. That's enough, you know? Like, but why? And the reality is children have a great opportunity to teach us. I found a few quotes on the question of why, because we want to know why we do something. We're kind of like, okay, cool. God asks us to live out these Beatitudes, but why? Like, is there a benefit at the end of the day? And I read a few things about toddlers asking questions. Some studies show that four-year-olds ask as many as 200 to 300 questions a day. Warren Berger, the author of A More Beautiful Question, says kids ask an average of 40,000 questions between the ages of 2 and 5. 40,000! I don't know if I've ever said 40,000 words and I'm a preacher. But knowing the answers, Warren Berger says, knowing the answers, why does it tail off for you and for me, and what would be good in our lives? Knowing the answers to questions can help you in school. Knowing how to ask questions will help you in life. You see, there's something that happens to us. Writer Ralph B. Smith once made the observation that if children ask roughly 125 questions a day, adults only ask about 6 questions per day. So somewhere between childhood and adulthood, we're losing out on 119 questions a day. Children's innate curiosity about life is instilled in them by birth, by the one who longs to be discovered. Think about that God puts in children. And by nature, as children are coming up, they're asking, like, what's this world I'm in? How does that work? What's going on? And then somewhere along the way, our childhood curiosity gets beaten out of us, and we're told, stop asking questions. And so we start to take a lot of things for granted in life, and we just kind of go ho-hum through life, and we find our lane, we find our channel where we don't really need to ask a lot of questions because we know we're proficient at this thing. And the problem is we become stagnant in our growth. But Ed Young is a preacher in Texas, and he says, you got to ask the right people the right questions to get the right answers. You got to ask the right people the right questions in order to get the right answers. So the question that we're going to ask today is why? And the person we're going to ask is God. So why should Salt of the Earth Christians live out these Beatitudes? Why is it worth it to you to put that magnet up and to pray over that situation? Why is it worth it to you to go down that list and be open and transparent and honest before God and just say, how am I doing? Why is that worth it to you? That's the question we should ask, because we need to find that motivation. I don't know about you, but I need to know the why behind the what. Don't just tell me to do something. I need to know how it benefits me, others, society, God, whatever. I just need to understand what's going on here and why I should be doing it. And here's the answer, the short answer of the day. When we live for self, the world sees self. When we live for Jesus, the world sees Jesus. Why should we live out the Beatitudes? Because when you live for self, that's what the world sees. And you know what? Outside of Christianity, the world has a lot of opportunity to see people living for self. The world has a lot of opportunity to look around and find selfish people, self-indulgent people, people that have no altruism to them. They're just seeking out their own aims. So the world has plenty of opportunities for that. But we are the salt of the earth. We're the ones that are supposed to live like others don't live, so that they can see a difference between heaven and earth. Because after all, what good is following your Jesus if he affects no change in your life? And so Jesus says, you know what? You're the salt of the earth. You're the change agents. You're the ones that I want others to look at and say, okay, this is what happens in the human life when it's touched by God. Think about what our faith is saying. We're literally saying that the God of the universe touches the human soul, saves and redeems the human soul, and then calls them to live for him forever. And we would do all of that and say that all that's true without having simple changes like the Beatitudes? How is that even possible? And so the world looks and goes, man, if your God can't change your heart, if your God can't get through to your numbskull, is that a thing? If God can't get through to that, is your God all that powerful? And certainly, is he worth following? Otherwise, I'll just play God. Thank you very much. But you know what I see and what you can see observed in Christianity is a lot of believers that are glad to take the benefits of Jesus, but they don't want to take the change that comes with Jesus. They don't want to take the heart change. They don't want to do the heart work. And so what they would rather do is say, this is just how I am. You got to take me. And the scriptures are saying, like, yes, Jesus takes you just as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. And so, yes, he takes you just as you are. Whatever you're bringing to Christ is welcome at the cross. But we're fooling ourselves if we don't believe that our heart change matters to God, or that our heart change doesn't show whether or not we've surrendered to Christ. Many of us want to just pick and choose, and we want to be like, hey, I'm good with God. I prayed the prayer. Look, I got a picture. There was this church that gave me a certificate. Look, I even went to one place where you took like 6 classes, and they gave you a card that said you're confirmed. Like the church says, they confirmed me. They gave me their stamp. Like, I'm in, man. And we're like, but where's God working in your heart? Well, you got to accept me for who I am. Like, huh, that's interesting. Not biblical, but it's interesting. And we've got to get to the place to where we go, you know what, God? These things are hard. I don't know about you, but when I look down that list, it's hard. It's difficult. And in the flesh, I will fail every time. Let's start with the first one. Not even in my notes, but I'm like, they need to know it's hard. Be humble. Anybody have a hard time? I have a hard time. Why? Because I like to win. And I happen to win a lot at cornhole. I mean, it is what it is. So I've had to work really, really hard at humility, and I'm not quite there yet. And my friends to my right, your left, can all attest to it. But it's hard. When you're this good, it's hard to be humble. I'm joking a little bit. Be comforted. This is comfort in the Spirit of God. You know what's hard? It's hard not to run to my own comforts. It's hard for you too. Because you and I, we have things that make us comfortable. Now, the extreme examples that the church wants to yell at, say, oh, you ran to pornography or to sex. It's extreme. But guess what? You know, a lot of us run to food. A lot of us run into the arms of a relationship. A lot of us run anywhere but Jesus whenever we're moping, when we're sad, when we're frustrated. We run a lot of places rather than to the Holy Spirit. Some of us, we control things more because if it gets hard, well, let me just get it all in order. And we all have things that we run to. But the scripture said, no. When you need to be comforted, find your comfort in the Holy Spirit of God. That's hard. It's hard. It means I got to wait and be patient and pray and I'd rather just do something. And many of our coping mechanisms have been built in by now. Many of us are old enough where this has been something you've done for years to make yourself feel better. So it's hard. Be restrained. Be restrained. Some of us, somebody cuts you off, they see the devil. Like it's all, just one little thing. Or they wait a half a second at a light before they leave. Like, whoa. You know what I mean? Like a whole new human comes out. Be restrained. Be restrained. Be thirsty for Jesus. Be thirsty. Like that's hard every day. Like we got schedules and kids and bills and whatever. And it's like, no. Just chase after Jesus today. Be merciful. This is a really hard one for most of us, right? Like, mercy is not giving out the good, the bad that the other people deserve. Like, they deserve punishment, and you're choosing not to give it to them. That's showing mercy. That's hard to do, usually because you've had to be hurt in order to be in that place to give out mercy. Mercy is one of those things you just cannot practice until you've been hurt. It stinks. I wish I could tell you how to do this without ever being hurt in life. I wish I could tell you your life, and some preachers do, like crazy people, like your life will never, ever have problems again if you trust Jesus. If you just have enough faith, you'll never have problems. It's just not biblical. You're going to have problems. The issue is that when you are offended, when someone hurts you, are you able to practice mercy? Are you able to pull off and not put the hammer down? Be pure. In this fallen world, it's a very hard thing to do, but you have to. Be peaceful. Be peaceful. As far as it depends on you, can you live at peace with your neighbors? And be found faithful. Consistency over a long period of time, aiming for the same objective. Can you do that? But here's the deal. When we live for self, the world sees self. When we live for Jesus, the world sees Jesus. But can I tell you this? Not just for, quote unquote, the world. It's also when we live for self, others in this room see self. And you know what the church is supposed to be? You know what the biblical church is? The biblical church is us assembling together to be stirred up towards good works, the Bible says. And so the reason you're coming in this room, the reason you gather with these particular groups of people out of the millions that are in the Baltimore region, you gather with this group, biblically, it's supposed to be because they're supposed to stir you up towards good works, stirring you up towards who Jesus is. And so when you or I, we fail to show Jesus in our lives, we're failing our brothers and sisters around us who need to see glimpses of that. But can I take it one step further? For your own sake, you need to demonstrate it because you need others around you to demonstrate it to you. And so when I am living a good example, when I'm doing the Beatitudes, when I'm living out the Beatitudes and you see it, maybe that encourages you to live them out. And here's how it works. It's a cycle. So if I'm living it out, and then that encourages you. You go, man, I need to do that. And so you start to live it out. So when I'm down, I look at you. And I'm like, man, good reminder. I got to get back on that. And so what happens in a community of faith is that you might be up and I might be down. I might be up and you might be down. And over the course of time, it's not a sprint. It's a long marathon. Over the course of time, there's going to be times where I look at you and I go, man. And I'm the pastor of the church, but it doesn't matter. I'm human. I can look at you and be like, man. That is a faith-filled warrior of Jesus. That's a faith-filled woman of God. That's a faith-filled man of God. That's awesome. And I might be in a season where I'm down and beat up and discouraged. But because maybe you saw something in me, I can turn around and see something in you. And over time, that's how we build one another up. And so I need to see you living out the Beatitudes, just like you need to see me living out the Beatitudes. And if we developed a church that always just waited for the paid guy up front to live them out, and then we go, oh, that's my example. If that becomes what you do, you become addicted to a human, addicted to a person, and not addicted to living out the glory of God on earth. And God calls us to live that out, to live that out. In community, with each other, which means, guess what? The more I'm around you, the less you're going to think that I'm perfect. And the more that you're around me, I don't want an amen out of this corner one more time. No, I'm just kidding. They didn't do it, but I thought it was funny. But the more you're around each other, the more you're going to see flaws in each other. But that shouldn't be the thing that scares you away. It should actually be the thing that draws you closer. Because if you're willing and I'm willing to walk together following Jesus, that's all we need. And for the times that you're broken, I'm going to lift you up. And the times that I'm broken, you lift me up. And if we agree to do that together, that is the body of Christ. That is where the magic happens. That is where faith happens. So when we live for self, the world just sees self. But when we live for Jesus, the world sees Jesus. And it could be, I'm a part of that. I need to see Jesus in you, and you need to see Jesus in me. Here we go. God created. What is it that people need to see? Here's the reality of the world. We're the ones that know the reality of this whole thing. God created the world and good and made everything very good. God created the world good and made mankind very good. Genesis 1:31 says, and God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. When God created all this, he said, man, it's very good. Then sin came into the world. Sin brought death and destruction to God's creation. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. So good job, Adam. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. Our forefather, our ancestor, jacked it up for everybody. And so God made it very good. Adam comes along, makes it very bad. So now we're living in the in-between. So what's the response? God looks at us and says, you know what? Christian, you know what? Follower of Jesus, I want you to be salt and light. And so what are we called to do in light of this broken, fallen world around us? God calls us to pray. Everybody say pray. We got to pray. Pray just to make it today. So God calls us to pray for heaven to come to earth. And you say, how? If you don't like my singing, it's a broken piece of me. You have to accept me. So God calls us to pray. God calls us to pray for heaven to come to earth. You say, where are we praying that? Well, it's in the Lord's Prayer. Look at what he says in Matthew 6, 9 to 13. This is the prayer that you've probably prayed. You probably memorized it when you're little. But look what it says. Pray then like this, Jesus says. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your what? Your will be done. He's saying pray for this. How is his will supposed to be done? On earth what? As it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive our debts, we forget our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He's told us, I want you to pray that this world would operate more like heaven. He's called us to pray for that. He's called us to pray that this world would look more like heaven. You know what happens in heaven? All the Beatitudes. So we're told to pray that this would happen, and then we turn around and look at the Beatitudes, and we're like, I'm not sure if I want to do that. No, you don't get to do both. You don't get to go to God and be like, God, I really want on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus told me literally to pray. He gives one prayer to pray. And he's like, I want your will to be done here. And he said, and then he goes, hey, in the Sermon on the Mount, he's like, yeah, my will would be that you guys live as salt. I don't know. I'll pick three of these and do pretty well. Like, what's, can you grade on a curve? Can you give me a passing grade? Do I really have to do all of it? And he looks and he's like, Tali, what I want out of you, Tali, I just want you to show the world that I'm worth it. Can you not do that? Like, can you not live in such a way to where when your will comes up against my will, you're cool with letting me be God? Like, does it got to be a fight out of you all the time? Does it got to be an argument? Does it got to be a why? Can you not just say, yeah, you're God? You know what? He calls us to pray, but he also calls us to participate in heaven coming to earth. And this is where we get the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. You know the beautiful thing about salt and change? Have you ever seen salt make a change like from a distance? Like salt makes a change up close. Salt makes a change by being close. You and I have to be close to our neighbors and close to our friends and family. Close. We got to be close enough to make a difference to where people can look at our flaws. But we are so Instagram filtered out in our society right now that we are so cool. We look at other people and we go, man, they just never take a bad picture. I got Christy will tell me sometimes, like, you know, this is really cool and all, but man, if they only knew, like over complimenting about photos. And it's like, oh, you age backwards. I was like, that's weird. I don't know if that's something we should be chasing. but the reality is that, you know, you take the first one and you're like, ooh, take the second one, change the angle, change the color, put a filter. And then after like 15 minutes, something goes on the internet and people come in, oh, you're just so beautiful. It's like you too could be beautiful too with an entire $1 billion platform in your hand where you can manipulate and change everything. But here's the deal. The world needs to see the real you. And the world needs to see the real you passionately pursuing Jesus, participating in the renewal of all things for God's glory, preserving God's truth, but also pulling out the good that's already there. The world needs to see you doing that. The kingdom of heaven is revealed through us as the salt of the earth. We're called to pray and participate in God's kingdom come. We're called to pray and to participate in that. And the kingdom of heaven is revealed through us. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says it's if God is making his appeal through us. It's as though God is using you and using me to make his appeal to your neighbor, friend, loved one, stranger. And so you and I, we say, Lord, I want to live out these Beatitudes, not because you make me, not because I'm forced, but because I want to reveal the truth about this world to the world around me. What is that eternal reality? Revelation 11:15. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. You see that? Like, there's going to be a day in heaven where all the angels will celebrate, and they go, you know what? That kingdom of the world doesn't belong to the world anymore. That kingdom of the world belongs to Jesus. And Jesus is spreading salt when he saves you and saves me. And we're living examples of what it looks like to belong to Jesus. We're testifiers and testimonies of the rest of the world looking and go, what would it look like if everything belonged to Jesus again? Like at the very beginning, it all belonged to him. What did it look like? It was beautiful. It had order. It had complexity. It had beauty. Beauty is one of the most powerful tools to pull somebody to God because it's like, why is there doesn't need to be beauty. Like science doesn't give us a reason for beauty. But there is. God painted a beautiful picture for his children to inhabit. And so what would it look like when the kingdom of the world becomes the kingdom of Christ again? Ask yourself that question about yourself. What would it look like if the Tali in his flesh became the Tali surrendered to Jesus? And my friends, I believe what you're going to find is it would look a lot like the Beatitudes. It would look a lot like the Beatitudes. It would look a lot like the change that has to happen in the human heart for God to rule and reign over Tali Wilgus's life. And so all the things that are of the flesh, all the things that are of sin, they fade away. All the things that are of Jesus, they get elevated like salt pulling out great flavor. And so this is why when I look at other people, and other people will come, and they're usually deathly scared to talk to the preacher or the pastor guy, because they're like, oh man, if I told him. And it's weird for me because I'm like, man, if you knew me, like I have zero, I'm not going to sit back and judge you. Like that's not my heart. But people think if they come to the pastor, that's the deal. I don't look at it. I look at it like this. I look at it like every single person I come in contact with has enormous heavenly potential. And yes, they might come and they go, hey, I'm not living up to my potential and here's where I fell. Okay. No, but you don't understand. I want to talk about where I fell. No, because you're not the sum of your brokenness. You're the sum of all the good that God's put in you. And he created you. He didn't create you to be a failure. He didn't create you to be jacked up. He didn't create you that way. And so I'm not going to sit there and celebrate that. I'm not going to sit with you and simmer and just sulk in it. I'm not. I'm going to look at it and I'm going to be like, yeah, that really stinks and that's horrible and you probably should apologize. But at the end of the day, like, we want to see what you look like redeemed. We want to see look like when you give yourself to Jesus, when Jesus gets a hold of all of it, what happens? That whole Beatitudes list breaks off. And then how do you look? Now let's talk about that. How do you look like when you're humble? How do you look like when you fully trust in the Holy Spirit of God? How do you look like when you take Jesus at his word? How do you look? Like, man, that's what I want to see out of you. And so when I see people, I don't see people in their weakest, most broken moments. I look at people and go, man, what would Jesus do with this guy? What would Jesus do with that lady? Like, what would happen? You know what would happen? The kingdom of the world that has been ruling their life would be exchanged for the kingdom of Jesus ruling their life. And I believe that's a pretty picture. Can I get an amen? I'm preaching better than you're celebrating today. I'm going to have to amen for both of us. But truthfully, that's the way we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live with the Beatitudes filling our lives because not just it does good for me, not just because God tells me to, but because, man, if I can live that way, I'm showing what it looks like in one kingdom, Tali's kingdom, when Jesus replaces it and rules and reigns. And that's what the angels will celebrate at the end. They look and go, man, it used to be the world's kingdom, but now it's our Lord's kingdom. Look at what he's going to do. He's going to restore everything that's broken. He's going to redeem everything. He's going to make everything whole and beautiful. Let's go. That's the PTV version, Pastor Tolley version. This world and all that's in it belongs to Christ. And that's the reality that we shout from the mountaintops when we live out the Beatitudes, when we let the Holy Spirit lead. The worthiness of following Jesus is what's to come is much better than what we can see. He's making his appeal through us, church. And that appeal is made by us letting him rule and reign in our lives. And that's attractive. That's different. That's special. And yes, you'll preserve the faith of Jesus and call more people to him. But just as importantly, you're going to show people what it looks like when the good inside of you gets attached to the God that made you. And when that happens, then we're on. Game on. You see, I want us to live like Paul did when he was able to boldly say, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. You might not understand it all. You might not be super spiritual, but man, I'm living in such a way and I'm attached to the God that made me. It's okay to follow me. You know why many of us don't want people to follow? Many of us don't want to be leaders. We're really, really scared of where we'd lead people. But it doesn't have to be that way. Surrender to Jesus. And if you can wake up every day, hit your head in the pillow every night and say, I was surrendered to Jesus today. Guess what? You should be completely confident in whoever follows you. You're born to be a leader. As a Christian, when you're saved, he made you a leader, whether you want to be or not. Why? Because the whole world's looking at you and saying, what does it look like when Jesus gets a hold of a human heart? And if you feel like you're not there yet, then man, let Jesus get a hold of a human heart. Let us live as though heaven has come to earth, so that more on earth will come to heaven. Let us live like heaven has fallen and come into earth. Let us live like we're praying. Let us live like we're participating. And if we'll do that, I promise you, we'll see more and more people leave hell and populate heaven. Beatitudes are not behavior modification. In a very real way, the Beatitudes and living them out become savior modification. We will change what people invest their lives in for all of eternity. If we will first say, yeah, Jesus, you can rule and reign over my life. I'll let this happen in me. So I pray this week, church, seriously, take it. In your family, encourage one another. Put these up. If you need more, there's more magnets in the back. But let's just give Jesus this summer. And let's say, hey, rule and reign. Have your way. Let's do it. And let's see what God would do in us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you, and we really want to see you move in our family, friends, and neighbors, and coworkers' lives. And God, every single one of us in this room, we're packed with potential. And Father, you've called us to pray that kingdom would come to earth, pray that heaven would come to earth, but also participate, to be the salt. So God, I pray we would pass the salt. I pray that each one of us, we would never be the same. I pray that each one of us going forward, we'd realize the value of if we're living for you, it changes lives around us. And the value of being in community with other people who are also committed to live for you, because there's going to be days when we don't feel it. And when we don't feel it, we need others who do. And so God, would you stir in us and make us a church, Lord, that the world just can't help but to look at and say, man, they don't get everything right, but man, they just follow Jesus the best they know how. God, in us, we're not perfect, but help us to not let that be an excuse. God, whether it's a person that's the first time today or whether it's somebody who's been here 10 or 12 years, God, would you never let us have an excuse? Help us to be able to be strong enough to look in the mirror and say, Jesus, have your way. Father, would you move in us so that you also move in the world around us? It's in Christ's name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's thank God for his word, church. Come on.